We have such a special privilege this morning of having Larry and Kay Mills all the way from Antioch, Turkey, here with us. Yeah. For many of you, or probably most of you, this is the first time maybe that you're seeing them. But his connection with Church of the Word International, their connection, goes way back. And way back when this church was over in Titusville, he ministered several times there, is that correct, with Pastor Dale. And so he became friends with Pastor Dale and Pastor Bruce Latibue. And then, of course, through the years, why, as everyone goes into the different directions in life, why, there's not as much interaction as there used to be. Well, a year and a half ago when I was in Turkey, why, the Lord put it on my heart to go see him and to go rekindle a relationship that the Lord had between him and Pastor Dale. And so I went on Pastor Dale's behalf and just learned to appreciate them in a short afternoon so much. And the work that they're doing there. And I told him, I said, please, if you ever come this side of the pond, well, please come see us and minister. And so he is here with us this morning. He has it in his heart, I know he does, to leave a deposit of the word inside of you. And I know it's in his heart to send you out equipped. But before he does that, Lord put it in my heart that we should pray over them and as a couple. So not after you're done and have told us everything about your ministry, but before. That way, if the Lord wants to speak something through someone here, you're not saying it in the know. You're saying it by the Spirit of the Lord, you understand? So Larry and Kay, if you would come, just stand right here, and I'm going to give those of you in the congregation an opportunity. You know, we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So if the Lord puts something in your heart to speak to them, come speak it to them. Larry and Kay, they'll judge it, right? They know how to walk according to the Word and if it's for them or not. So don't be afraid. But I'll just ask you, if the Lord puts something in your heart, come speak it or just stretch out your hands, pray over them. Why don't we have, Gene, why don't you come? Jen, come. Larry and Karen, come. Kat, you join him. When I say Gene, it's both of you. Just stand around him, lay your hands on him, pray over him. I'll start, and you all can just join in. Father, I thank you for Larry and Kay. Thank you, Father, for the work that you have sent them to do. Thank you for working and giving them grace upon grace to accomplish this task.
You too. By the sword of my word, taken to bring light and liberty and blessings. My hand is upon you both because you are one in me. And that love that I planted in you for these people will bring forth fruit, great fruit. And that fruit will grow and mature and develop in each person that you two touch. The words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart are acceptable unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
As soon as I touched you, the Lord said, your oaks of righteousness. Amen. And that... although your hair may be white and gray, okay, there's lots of life and lots of wisdom in you. And I saw many, many, many children around your feet. Now, I don't know the country of Turkey, but I saw trees. So when you were saying you were oaks of righteousness, I said, Lord, are they the trees? You said, yes, but they bring shade to many. And the children were all different ages. They're not just one little, no, not just little children, but the Lord said to tell you that in this season you're going to reproduce much harvest. Many trees are being planted. Woo-hoo. Many trees are being planted because of your obedience. So bless you both in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you that every need that Larry and Kay and their ministry have is met according to your word. Father, continue to send workers to them to not only minister with them, but minister to them. Father, raise up financial partners. Put it in people's hearts to partner with them to accomplish this task you've sent them to do. To do it in full glory, Lord. I thank you for this. Father, just bring about a refreshing, a renewing, a strengthening on the inside of Larry in a mighty way, on the inside of Kay in a mighty way, Father. That their time here in the States would not be a time of being worn out and running, but Father, that they'll go home so full of strength and vigor, they'll be eager to jump headlong into everything you've got for them. Give them an endurance that goes beyond the natural realm, far beyond it. Surround them, Lord, with leaders that'll be faithful to you and faithful to them. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, we declare it to be so. And amen. Well, thank you. You guys can return to your seats. Larry, if you would come. All right, let's pray.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for this man of God and for sending him to us this morning.
Yeah.
We just ask, Lord, by your Spirit to minister through him, that your word will be quick and sharp this morning.
Yes.
And that you will open up our hearts for what you would minister in us and how you would minister through him and us.
Thank
in
you,
Jesus' name.
Let it be so.
And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I am so, so grateful to be here today. My wife Kay and I. It's been many years since we passed through here and shared here before, and was such an honor and a privilege to meet Pastor Sidney and just yesterday Jen, and they've been so good to us, so hospitable, and we're so grateful for that. There's no way we could do anything without the kind of partnerships that we have with people like you, you know, and the prayers that you pray, you know. It is truly a work that we do together. Amen. And I know God has much more to do. Amen? And we are living in excited times. I can't think of another time in all of history I'd rather be alive than right now. Amen? This is really an exciting time to be alive in. Sometimes all we see is the fear and the devil's making all the headlines, but God is doing awesome things in the earth today. And I believe it's just getting started. And I believe we are that church that's rising. Hallelujah. And the glory of the Lord is upon us. Amen. When darkness covers the people, the earth, and deep darkness the people, that's when God shines the brightest. Hallelujah. His church, his people. Amen. That's us. We are a privileged bunch. Amen. And it's exciting, I'm telling you, to be alive today. And an honor for us to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ in a place like Turkey. A place, a land that once was very biblical in our history. But I just want to say a quick word about my family. All my children, we have four daughters. They were all born overseas. Our first daughter, Sarah, was born in Antioch 31 years ago. And so that's when we started our first time in Antioch. And she today lives in Tulsa with her husband and two of our grandchildren. Her older daughter is three, and the second son, Josiah, turns one at the end of June this month. And then we have a third daughter, Alyssa, who's married and has a little girl, a little granddaughter. She's precious. Her name's Avery. She turns one in July. And so it's a joy for us, too, to be able to see our grandbabies. I know I don't look that old, but I mean, I'm a grandpa, you know, and this is my grandma wife. So, but I never knew how great it would be to be a grandpa and a grandma and hold our grandchildren and love them. And it is definitely the most difficult part, sacrifice for us to not be with them or around them while they're growing up, you know. But His grace is sufficient. And so our other two daughters are living in Tulsa now as well. Our youngest daughter, Christina, just graduated from Christ for the Nations after 3 years. And we moved her up to Tulsa, and now she's starting ORU. She's studying international relations. She wants to get into politics. And she is a godly woman, man. Every morning at 5 a.m., she's up praying. She moves in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm amazed at my baby, you know, just... And leads worship, plays the guitar, and just loves Jesus. And I thank God that all my children love Jesus, serve Him, work in the churches, you know. And so we're rich. We consider ourselves very wealthy people to have such a family like that. Amen? And it's God's grace, because it's not easy in these days to raise a family. And, you know, but we have His grace. Amen? We came back May 9th. And we're here till July 6th, so we have another 4 weeks or so to go. And we're visiting churches that support us, updating people on what's going on. We've been in Turkey. We started there 30 years ago, like I said, but we've lived in other places and served. We were in Bulgaria for 4 years. We were some of the first Westerners to live in Bulgaria, had an awesome ministry and worked there, and then was in Germany for about 8 years. We lived in Istanbul for like 11 years, and then more recently in Antioch again for the last 8.5 years. Years ago, when I was in Bible school in Central Florida, I went to Assembly God Bible School for 5.5 years, and this was almost 40 years ago, and I became a janitor. I was working as a janitor in the biggest church in town. It was the First Assembly of God. Carl Strader was the pastor, and I remember at one point when I became like the head janitor, I had all the keys to this, all the facilities. They were so big, they were on like 4 city blocks, and so when my mom and dad would come to town, you know, I would wait till nobody was there, and then I would take them on the grand tour, you know, and I would take them, oh, this is the pastor's office right here, check this out, you know. And here's this, and here's that, you know. And it was amazing, and you felt this sense of authority, you know what I mean? But with those, all those keys and all that authority came great responsibility. You understand what I'm saying? So today here, I want to talk to you about keys. I want to talk to you about keys that God's given us. And I want to ask you this question. What are you doing with your keys? It's a good question. Keys in the Bible, it's a metaphor for authority. And I want us to start in Matthew chapter 16. You know the story here in Matthew 16 when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're this, some say you're that. Who do you say that I am? He asked that question then. Well, then Peter pipes up, you know, and says, well, you're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Amen? And then Jesus picks it up here in 18. Let's pick it up and read on what Jesus continues to say to him. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock of revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If you ask someone today, what is church? You might get a variety of answers. Some might say, well, it's a worship service. If you ask somebody on the street where I'm from, where I live in Turkey, they might tell you it's a building used by Christians. Maybe there's colored windows or a cross on the front. You might get another answer, well, it's a local group of Christians, or another answer that says it's the people of God called out from the world. That's pretty good. But in fact, I'm personally not so interested on what people say about what church is. I'm more interested in what Jesus says about what church is. What does Jesus say church is? Jesus took a word, and I want you to think just a little bit different here this morning. Jesus took a word that was used, already in use in that day by the Greeks and the Romans, the word ekklesia. He chose that word to describe who his people would be. And my question is, why that word? Why not another word? Why did he choose that one? It would be interesting to find out why he chose that word. How was it used in that day? That would give us a good understanding of why he chose that word, right? You are, he says, I will build my ecclesia. Well, look how the Greeks used this. This is how the Greeks, what they said about this word. They said it was an assembly of people set apart to govern the affairs of a state or a nation. Pretty good. What did the Romans say? The Romans said it was a group of people sent out into a conquered region to alter the culture until it became like Roman. They infiltrated government, social structure, language, schools, etc., until the people talked, thought, and acted Roman. Wow. So when Jesus says, I will build my ecclesia, he was speaking of a group of people that would legislate or rule spiritually for him, extending his government, his rule, his reign on the earth. So how does that unfold? What's that look like? This happens when we lead others to Christ. When we use our keys, when we use the authority we've been given. Amen? And then he says the gates would not prevail or stop the expansion of this church, this kingdom, growing and expanding in the earth. The gates that he talked about were not physical gates, but the government plans of hell that would try to stop this kingdom expansion. The governments of hell would not stop the expansion of this kingdom, this church, in the earth. Hallelujah. So here in this Matthew 16 passage, we find the first time the word church is used. The first time in the Bible the word church is used. So Jesus is introducing the church for the first time. When you introduce a person for the first time to somebody, you usually say what's most important that comes to your mind about them. If I was going to introduce Pastor Sidney to one of my friends, I would say, here's Pastor Sidney. He's a man of integrity. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, because of the time that I've known him, that's what I know about him. You understand? So when Jesus introduces his church, the first thing he says is that he's going to give his church, this church, keys, authority. Hallelujah. To bind and to loose. You know, from this little passage come such powerful themes. Let me just give a couple to you. He says the church will be built on the revelation of who Jesus is. That's the first thing we see. Why is that so important? Do you understand why that is so attacked today? The person of Jesus, who Jesus is, the revelation of Jesus, that the whole religion of Islam opposes. They say they know who Jesus is. They say they even worship the same Jesus we do. But it's not the same Jesus. Because they say he didn't die on a cross. They say he's not the Son of God. They say he's not God. Well, that's not the same Jesus that we worship. That's a different Jesus. Jesus lives two doors up from me in Turkey. His name's Isa. But it's not his name I pray in when I cast the devil out. Nothing will come out. You understand? Because there's no power in his name. And so I'm not afraid to tell a Muslim person, you don't know my Jesus. Oh yeah, we do. No, you don't. Your Jesus is a different Jesus than mine. You remember Paul said, though someone coming to you preaches another Jesus? We don't need someone preaching another Jesus to us. We need to tell them about the Jesus we know. Amen? So that's why the enemy spends so much time and effort trying to destroy that revelation. because it's the foundation of who we are in the church today. The second theme here is Jesus is the one building His church. Hallelujah. Jesus is building and expanding His church, not man. Jesus is building His church. So let's not look at man. Let's not look at what man's doing. Let's look at what Jesus is doing. Then we're not confused and we're not sad because look how bad the church is. No, Jesus is building His church. There are people doing it right. Hallelujah. Amen? And the Bible says that's going to continue until when? Matthew 24:14. Until all nations hear, then the end will come. That's what my Bible says. Amen? Another theme. Nothing, not even the gates of hell, not even the governments of hell can stop this church from expanding in the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And finally, this church will have keys. This church will have authority to bind and to loose. How is it that the gates or the governments of hell will not stop this church from expanding in the earth? I'll tell you why. Because we have some keys. In the very next sentence, he says in verse 19, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Bind, loose. What you bind here is bound in heaven. What you loose here is loosed in heaven. Amen? And here's a major point I want you to see here today. When Jesus talks about giving His church keys, it's in context of building His church. Those two are inseparable. When Jesus talks about giving us keys, it's in context of building His church. And we're going to see that again. And it comes down to this issue of authority. And I know you've been taught some of these things, but let me just repeat some of it. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between power and authority. And there are several words in the New Testament that are translated power and authority, but there are two words that are translated power and authority more than other of the words in Greek. And those two words are dunamis, power, dynamite, dunamis, and exousia, which is authority. And for some reason, the translators doing the King James and the New King James, sometimes they interchange those words. And it's not good because it hurts and they don't have the revelation, obviously. Because power, it's never been a question of power. Who has the greater power? You remember in heaven, there was this flash of lightning and Satan was thrown to the earth, Lucifer. There's never been a question of power and who has it. There's no comparison, not even the same category. Amen? No, the issue is not about power. It's always and only a question of authority. And you have to get this. It's only a question of authority. You see, Satan didn't gain any power in the garden. He didn't lose any power at the cross. His power didn't change in either event. What did change? His authority. What did he gain in the garden? Authority. That's what was given to him. What did he lose at the cross? Authority. Exactly. Amen? Nowhere in the scriptures does it say that Jesus delivered us from or dealt with Satan's power at Calvary. He dealt with Satan's authority. And a verse that's often misquoted or quoted but not rightly translated is Colossians 1:13, where he says, Jesus has delivered us from the power, it's translated, but it's not power, it's not dunamis, it's exousia. He has delivered us from the authority of Satan and translated us into the kingdom of His Son. Amen? The Son of His love. And then here's another favorite verse, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority, keys, exousia, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power, dunamis, of the enemy. And nothing, everyone say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. How much is nothing? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Glory to God. That's a good word. Amen. Last year, I had sold a car we owned for 10 years. We bought it new 10 years previous in Istanbul and had moved over that time to Antioch. But I let a missionary use my car, another missionary guy, and he put diesel in a gasoline engine, filled it up, then tried to go. And about half a mile up the road, it just conked out, you know. So he tried to get it fixed, rebuild the motor, all that stuff, but it just never worked quite the same after that. And so, and it was time to change cars. So we're believing, and so we got a deal where the dealership was ready to give me a really good price on our car, our old car, for this new car. So we turned it in, and all we had to do was go to the notary and get this paperwork finished, and it was done, okay? Well, we went to the notary, and they said, you can't do this because there's something missing. Information's missing in the database. I'm like, what information? Your mother's name. I said, my mother's name? Yeah, without your mother's name in the database, you cannot finish this deal. You cannot wrap this up, you know? And I'm like, what are you talking about? My mother's name is Judy. And they're like, no, it's not in there. Whoever sold you the car 10 years ago failed to put her name in the database. I'm like, what do I do? Well, we don't know. You have to go check with the traffic police or the tax office or blah, blah, blah. Like, so I had my friend Murat, who's the businessman that just came to the Lord previous to that, he helped me, and we were going all over the place. We went to the tax office 2 or 3 times. We went to the immigration office 2 or 3 times. We're bringing back papers showing my mother's name is on their database. Why can't it be on your database? Well, you might have to just go to Istanbul. That's 15 hours away by car. Well, what do I do there? I don't know. Maybe you can do something there. Really? 4 days, we're working at trying to get my mother's name in the database, trying to figure this out. We went to the police. Police couldn't do anything. I said, sorry, I don't know what to tell you to do. And I'm stuck. And so on the 4th day, and we've got visitors from America that we're supposed to start our go on a vacation with them with our new car. And they're all waiting back at the house on the day we're supposed to leave. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what to do. I've come to the end. And my friend said, well, let's try one more thing. So he somehow gets a hold of the chief of police, the traffic police, and gets a meeting for us. So we go over, we got this meeting, we walk in the door of the chief of police. There was 2 guys smoking a cigar in there, you know, and it was smoking and everything. And they walked out, and we sat down at this big desk with the big chief behind, and he said, what's the problem? You know, and so my friend Murat explains the problem. He picks up the phone, dials the phone, about 2 minutes pass, hangs up the phone and says, your mother's name's in the database, you're okay. I'm like, are you kidding me? 4 days, we're running here, running there, pulling our hair out. And we come, we get a word, one word from the highest authority, and it's finished. You understand? All we need is one word from the highest authority. It settles the issue. There's no more struggle. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. How many know we have a word? From the highest authority. Amen. We've been given keys. My question is, what are you doing with your keys? Maybe some of you didn't know you had keys. Maybe you knew you had keys and I got authority. And we're believing for parking places at Walmart or green lights and these kind of things. And I'm not saying all that's bad, but, you know, there's a higher purpose, a higher reason we've been given keys, authorities. And that's to expand the kingdom, the church, and the earth, and the gates of hell will not stop us because we got the keys. So I don't want to just show off my keys like I did with my mom and dad. I want to use my keys. It's amazing to me to find out, to see often how the one church, the one meeting in the church that's least attended often is the prayer meeting. It's the one place where we can use our keys and make a difference and really bring change in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen? What are you doing with your keys? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 28, just before he left in the Great Commission. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, all power, no, all authority, exousia, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, and heaven and on earth. All, how much is all?
All.
Amen. Is there any left? All is all. Are we talking the highest authority here? Verse 19, therefore you go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. I want you to notice again here that Jesus speaks of authority, giving us authority in connection with reaching the world for Him. Here it is again. We've been given authority for a purpose. We've been given authority for a reason. We've got keys. Hallelujah. One of those keys is for healing. One of those keys is to cast out devils. Hallelujah. One of those keys is to raise the dead. Amen? He says, freely you've received these keys, freely give. Use your keys. Amen? Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper. Freely you've received. Freely give. He says it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He loves to do this. It's His good pleasure to give you the keys. Amen? I think of my 3-year-old granddaughter, Kyra. Her mother, when Kyra was 6 months, put a fork in her hand to learn how to eat by herself. And food went everywhere but her mouth. Food was on the wall. Food was on the floor. And you know what? I watched my daughter. And she never took that fork back and said, well, I guess you weren't made to have a fork. I'm sad. I don't know what we're going to do now. I guess we'll have to feed you the rest of our... No. She kept sticking that fork back in her hand. Kept sticking that fork back in her hand. And today, 3 years old, she can hit that mouth every time. Hallelujah. Not a problem. Amen? You know God loves us. God is our Father. He loves us. We're His children. He'll put a fork on our hand. He'll put a key in our hand. And we might make a mess. We might not use it correctly. But don't let that discourage you. Don't think that He's going to take it back. He loves us as much as my daughter loved her daughter. Amen? He wants us to grow up in Him. He wants us to learn how to use the tools that He's given us. He's patient with us. He's full of mercy, full of compassion. Amen? And we shouldn't be afraid of the tools. We shouldn't be afraid of the gifts, the keys that He's given us. I'm encouraging you to use your keys. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm going to give it to Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Larry. Let's use our keys wisely. Let's make sure we use them. If you need an envelope for the offering that we're going to take, why don't you just hold your hand up? Our ushers will bring one in to you. And then we're going to put the baskets at the door for the sake of our time, and that way you can put the offering in the basket as you go out the door. Now, what I would encourage you to do is when you come downstairs, come see Kay, and she'll give you a book for the 12-month partnership. And now, don't take a book unless you're actually going to use it, right? They printed only a limited number of books, but take a book and use it, all right? Let's partner with them in this way. All right, take a hold of your offering and let's pray over it. Father, I thank you that you are the giver of all good things and that you have given us seed to sow. So we sow this seed unto you, Lord, that it'll grow and increase where it has been sent, that Larry and Kay will prosper in every way, even as their soul prospers. Father, send ministering spirits with these finances, with Larry and Kay, to bring finances to them in great abundance, more than what they need. I thank you for this in Jesus' name and amen.